It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, good to see you once again. Zooming in from Arizona, that's kind of your modus operandi these days. Still doing lots of counseling, though. That's actually last few years, you'd kind of transferred to more video counseling anyway, right?
That's right. And getting to the place where, and particularly where we live, it's a bit of a drive anywhere to an office. So this works out well here, too.
Yeah.
Hey, we were going to talk about... we're going to talk about the tragic shooting. Now, I know that that's not going to be a popular thing with people, but I think there are some things here that particularly, and we talked about this a bit before the show, but I want to just, maybe we'll introduce it this way, that this is Christmas season. We've got at least a couple of families in the fallout of this tragedy that are without loved ones, certain loved ones this Christmas, and that's always a tragic thing. But every family has, you know, I shouldn't say every family, but many families at this time of year have difficulties. Particularly if you've got teenagers, you know, they're going through their own things, and there are changes in their lives, and maybe they're a bit moody around Christmas time, and you can't figure out why. You know, they're not really getting into the spirit. And with things like this happening, when we've had this shooting in Wisconsin, it's bound to cause some parents a little bit of mental anguish to, you know, try to, you know, wondering if, you know, do we know our kids well enough to know if, you know, what are their thoughts? What are their, you know, are they depressed? Are they, you know, is this mood that they're in, is this a serious thing or not? So I wanted to break this down a bit in our show today, and also kind of maybe set some parents' minds at ease.
And I think something that might be giving some people some real pause, particularly in our audience, mostly Christians, is that this happened at a Christian school, and we're thinking our kids are kind of safe and kind of away from the trials of life at Christian school, but not so. The Christian kids and families struggle with these things just as much.
Yeah, I know. We had a situation when I went to a Christian school, a tragedy that happened, the death of one of the parents, and it was shocking. And you would think that, you know, this is the last place something like that would happen. But it happens. You know, in the world we have tribulation. Well, I did some research on this. And, you know, when I first heard this story, I thought there were some things that stood out right away. And I thought, so this is a girl with a gun, and that's the guy thing. So this has to do with her relationship with her dad. And she had a manifesto that we'll get into in a minute, but I wanted to go through the family history. So her parents, now I think she might have been an only child, because there didn't seem to be anything in the profile that indicated any other child. But she was 5 years old in 2014 when her parents were divorced. Now, you know, divorces don't happen overnight. So when she's 5 years old, she's been experiencing a lot of turmoil in the home. And that's so upsetting for children, because that's their sense of security is the home. And when that's falling apart, they have no sense of security in their life. So the mother gets the custody, and it's shared custody, but she's placed with the mother. In 2017, so 3 years later, they remarry. And so now she's back in the home. 4 years later, they divorce again, and now she's placed with the father. And to me, as the counselor, I'm wondering, there's only two reasons why the mother would not get custody. One, she's unfit, or two, she doesn't want custody. So now the girl is over with her father. And around a year later, the mother agrees to enter into counseling with her daughter, but she's got a schedule, so it could be in person, or it could be Zoom. Now, I got to say something about Zoom real quickly here. There are some cases where Zoom will not work, and it will not work if you've got people who do not have a good relationship and they're at different locations when you're counseling them. So you would have in this situation, you'd have the daughter with the counselor and the mother on Zoom. That's not going to work. And so it also speaks to the inflexibility of the mother and her disinterest. She seems in all of this to be somewhat absent. The father seems to be somewhat helpless and childish. There was a photograph that he posted. So he's on social media, and he posted a photograph of he and his daughter at the gun range. And the daughter, which seems to be their way of connecting, is guns. Mm. And the daughter is wearing a T-shirt. And it's, I wasn't aware of this group, but it's a KMFDM, is the acronym. And I won't tell you what it stands for because it's very violent and filthy. But she had this T-shirt on. And I had to be wondering, what was the dad thinking? It's a very violent group, a very violent group. Violent music, violent pictures, and she's wearing a T-shirt at the gun range. And so I had to be wondering. So it appears to me that the father is trying to be her buddy and follow her lead, but she doesn't want to be the leader. She needs a leader. So at this point, she is 14. Mm. And this is in 2022. She's 13, I guess, 2022. So 2 years later is the shooting. So the parents, meanwhile, report that their relationship together is positive because they text and they make phone calls. So that it's not like they're talking. They're texting and phone calling. Natalie describes her life with parents as extremely difficult, refers to her parents as scum. So that's the family story. Now, there were some red flags in her life too. We already mentioned one: the posting of the guns and this violent group. She had a manifesto.
A manifesto. War.
She posted a manifesto: war against humanity. Hmm. Grown to hate people in society. Parents are scums. She mentioned that she got a hold of this gun. By lying and manipulation and her father's stupidity. So her father was thinking that, you know, they're connecting over guns and all the time he's being played. And then she was going to commit suicide, but she decided that she would take some others with her because it would be better for evolution, which brought up the Christian school thing.
How are these people at the Christian school?
Well, I think that,
kind
you know,
hiding out there.
When I was in a Christian school, it was a very small school, and I think that at least the quite a large number of the students in this small school came from the same church, and the principal of the school was also the pastor of the church. So he knew the families that were in the school. But as the school grows, and these Christian schools grow, and they need the money, and they need the enrollment, and they can't, so they continue to lower the bar. So they want to be exclusive, and so they lower the bar. And so you now a lot of people will send their kids to Christian schools just to get them out of the public school. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a guarantee that everyone at the Christian school is a believer. And so I would have my doubts about this, but the family is certainly not walking along with. Not walking in faith. Those are sort of some red flags that they should have noticed. I also had something that would be important at this point would be to talk about some of the general, the general warning signs that you would see if your teenager was in trouble.
Yeah, in this season, maybe people have a little bit more relationship with their kids and their home from school for the next little while,
and so it would be a good opportunity to take a close look.
Hopefully, observe in person too. I think what's really stands out in your background on this family is how disjointed they were with just all this connecting through media and social media and Zooming and stuff, and not a lot of in-person interaction.
Yeah, and the parents just not watching, I'm going to emphasize for parents that, you know, when we have kids, they are the assignment. Now, as Christians, we have a context for that, to think of that. If these people were not believers or in the secular world, that's not, they're not used to that way of thinking. It's more just me first. And but some of these things, now, if I read these things off, you'll notice these things in your young person. You'll notice them in your own life. So it's not just one or two of these things, but it's like a combination of these things. And this is not an exclusive list, but shame. Now we're going to talk about shame a little bit, but shame, dysphoria. And so dysphoria is just a general dissatisfaction with your life. You know, anger, outbursts of anger, or just moodiness, depression, pessimism, big deal. A lack of hope. Teenagers can be pessimistic, you know, particularly if they're not performing well in school, or, they lost a girlfriend, or, they're a favorite friend or something like that.
Bullied.
They can be pessimistic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it depends on what the parents are going through. Lack of productivity. I mentioned the schoolwork, but lack of productivity and other things too. Lack of motivation, you know, hard to get them to do chores, hard to get them to get out and get exercise. It just goes along with disrespectful. If they're being disrespectful, dispassionate, they don't have a passion. They don't have an interest, a hobby. They're withdrawn. They're isolated. They're beginning to spend more time in their bedroom, away from. They're dropping friendships. Maybe they've become more violent. They're morbid in their speech and excessive in social media, and particularly violent games. Maybe so you could look at those and you could probably pick out a number of those and say, oh my gosh, that sounds like my kid right now. Those things, one or two or three of those things, it's not that, you know, if a child has anger outbursts or is depressed, or is withdrawn a bit, or, has going through a period of just, you know, lacking passion for anything, but it's a combination of things. And you have to watch about if it's going on for a period of time, if they can't snap out of it, those are just general warning signs. Mm-hmm. So that could be discouraging.
Yeah. But
when we come back, we're going to talk about kind of the basis of all that, and also a path that parents can take. What can we do about it? And this is some good news here. And these things actually work. They're biblical. And so there's hope. And we can end on an upward note here.
Yeah, and otherwise very tragic story. But this, without becoming a school shooter, a lot of these kids in our homes are really struggling more than ever. And we need help. And Daniel is there to do that. He does a lot of family counseling. And if people want to find out about your services, Daniel, how do they do that?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Also want to remind people that these podcasts are at BibleBasedCounselor.com. So if you're hearing part of this and you didn't get the whole thing and you want to go back and listen to it again, or have someone else listen to it, it's BibleBasedCounselor.com, and there's a side panel for podcasts, and you can look through. There's probably about 10 years or more of podcasts in there. And my work nowadays is virtual, all through Zoom.
All through Zoom, okay. And people, again, can find out more at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel this week looking at how to maybe spot some problems with your kids. This is brought on by the recent school shooting in Madison, Wisconsin. The first part of the show, again, if you missed that, go to BibleBasedCounselor.com to hear this podcast once again. Now, troubled kids don't become school shooters necessarily, or very rarely, really. But kids do seem to be more troubled than ever, and they need more help than ever. And that's what you're trying to do, Daniel. And you want to talk about some ways to help kids.
Yeah. I think that as parents, and you know, my wife and I raised a daughter, so we got a taste of it. It wasn't like some of these families out there with, you know, four, five, or six kids. And there still are families that are that have that many kids, and some with more. Sometimes I think it's more difficult in some ways raising a single child, though, because the child there's something that siblings add, a way of, like, they all handle stress differently, and you can learn, the siblings can learn each from the other, learn from others' mistakes or others' successes. And so sometimes the single child, you know, I remember raising our daughter when she was like just starting to talk. She almost started talking like an adult. And she would use big words, even if she didn't know what the words meant, but she would use these big words because she was just around these adults all the time. And so she just had an adult way of thinking. And as she we started to experience with her quite early on, kind of a pull where she wanted her own control and she wanted her own private time. And she wanted, and with siblings, a lot of times you don't expect that until later. But when she's growing up in an adult world, she thinks of herself as an adult pretty quickly. And in the situation where I think this young girl just got tossed around a lot, had a fragmented family, and she really wanted a leader. But we, as I was reading in the first part of the show, it really looked like her dad was just a follower and kind of a kid in some ways, and then the mother was absent. Mm-hmm. A lot of times then we find that we as parents kind of take our eye off the ball, and we get caught up in our in the many frustrations or struggles or changes or adjustments in life. And we just kind of assume that the kids are, you know, they're not complaining. And so they're not filing a formal complaint. Somebody said they're not filing a formal complaint, so everything must be okay. And so then we see them kind of go off the tracks. And what they really need is leadership. And I think that that's something that in our day and age is not a popular way of looking at the family. You know, there's so much of this emphasis on letting the child lead. Let the child decide what gender they are. Let the child decide the pronouns. Let the child lead. Follow the child. And these young people, that's not what they want. They want strong leadership. Well, they don't want hypocrisy.
Right. That's the rub. Yeah, they don't want hypocrisy.
And they don't want hypocrisy, and they don't want the game changing every other day. They need stability. They need strong leadership. So one of the things that I wanted to talk, I guess, first of all, let me say that the foundation, as we've talked about a number of times on the show, all human beings have fear and shame. Because we're mortal, we have fear and shame. Mom and dad have fear and shame. And the kids have fear and shame. You know, if you try to think as an adult, if you try to think of the first time that you felt shame or a sense of lack of worth, it probably didn't have anything to do with your behavior. It was just there. I remember one of the first times that I felt shame had to do with some guests were invited over to our house, and I was ashamed of my parents' furniture. Okay. Now, that had nothing to do with anything that I had done. It was just an internalized message or sense of lack of worth. Well, where did I get that? Well, I got it from my parents because they had shame. Well, where did they get it? Well, they got it from their parents. We all have shame, and we pass it on to our kids in many ways. Now, what kids need to see is they need to see their parents handling these things and working through these things in a positive way. There's a number of things that I want to talk about. For example, vision. We'd like our kids to have a vision in life. We would like them to be able to set a goal out there and go toward it. Well, they need to see parents. Parent, we need to model that. If we expect our kids to have that, then as parents, we need to have a vision out there and we need to be going toward it. Mm-hmm. Now, well, that brings to question, well, what kind of a vision? Well, there can be short-term goals. I think kids need to see parents achieving short-term goals. You know, paying off the car, getting the yard done, getting through a bad winter. You know, they need to see parents, planning a vacation and pulling it off. They need to see parents setting goals in their life and achieving those things. I remember growing up, my dad did the best he could, but he got in over his head in so many ways. He was a great starter. He'd start things, but he wouldn't know how to finish them. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times things would just set half done or not completed.
I can relate.
Yeah, it wasn't a good example. And so, that's kind of the way I grew up. But I got into, by God's grace, I got into some jobs where I got to learn some things on the jobs and some carpenter skills and electrical skills and things. So I got into the construction world and did fairly well there and learned to fix cars so that they ran after I finished working on them and those kinds of things. But I think kids need to see their parents
and
achieve those kinds
and
of
kids
things.
I think kids need a job, sort of. They need chores. They need to have some expectations. You mentioned that, like the single kid, so often they're just kind of the center of the universe for the family, and they need to know their place and that there are things expected of them.
Yeah.
To me, that's a big deal.
It is big. And I think it begins with what I was talking about, where the parents doing that, because it's very difficult. I've seen parents try to, you know, tell their kids, for example, you can be anything you want if you just want it bad enough. And I had a group that I was counseling one time. I started a group for anger management for parents and teens. And I had this one mother there, and she brought her two sons, which I thought, you know, that's quite an accomplishment to bring two teenage boys. I don't think my mother could have got my brother and I at a counseling session, but this gal managed to get her two boys to a counseling session. And so we were going around the circle, and I was asking them to kind of like, talk a little bit about why they were here. And she said, you know, I tell my boys they can do whatever they want if they just want too hard enough, but they just don't seem motivated. And so I asked her, what did you want to be? And she said, what do you mean? I said, what did you want to be? You know, what? Oh, she said, oh, I wanted to be a nurse. And I said, well, what happened? Oh, I just couldn't. Well, how old are you? You know, well, 40. Well, how long does it take to be a nurse? Well, I don't know. Well, where could you find out? I'm not sure. How much would it cost? And so I happened to know that right down the street, there was a nurse's program. It would take 3 years. And I said, by the time you're 43, you could be a nurse. I mean, you can tell your kids, you can preach one sermon to your kids, but if you don't believe it yourself, they're not going to believe it. So they have to see you. Mm-hmm. They have to see you cheerfully doing the chores, and they have to see you accomplishing things. And then you can say to them, you know, you can do the same thing. It works for you. So vision, worldview. What is your worldview? You know, we want our kids to have a biblical worldview, but is that our worldview? And I think a lot of parents could stand to look inward and look at how do we live our lives? Do we live our lives as though our faith really matters, as though it's really relevant to us? Or do we just go to church somewhat regularly and somewhat we participate a little bit, but it really does not affect the way that we live our lives? And so our children have this double standard that they're looking at. We go to church and there are words preached and we shake hands on it, but then we come home and we don't live our lives much differently than my secular friends. Mm. Expectations. Do parents have realistic expectations? Because we want our kids to have realistic expectations. So again, do we set expectations for ourselves, and do we meet those expectations? And are we cheerful when we meet our expectations? How do we handle hope in life? Are we often discouraged? Or if we figured out how to get ourselves out of the slump and continue on with with joy. The scriptures says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Do we as parents understand what that's like? And do we model it? Do we model our faith? So in closing, I'd like to say, kids are going to make their own decisions. They're going to make their own choices, and they're not going to go exactly the direction that we would envision. They never do. But what we need to do as parents is model and give them a clear picture of the landscape. Of life, its difficulties, its troubles, but also how we face those things. And by God's grace, we come through those. And then they'll be able to make their choices with understanding. So again, we have to watch out in this day and age, not letting our kids lead because they want to be led, and keeping our eye on some of these warning signals. But for the most part, it's leading by example. Your kids are the assignment. They're not just an inconvenience, although they can feel that way. But they are the assignment. I say that kids don't change your life. They become your life. And while they're with us in our home, they have to be the focus, and they have to be the assignment. So
kids need to be led. And maybe as we wrap up this year and get ready for a new year, you need some counseling, family counseling. Daniel would love to help you with whatever you're facing. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. It's all virtual these days. These podcasts are can always be found at BibleBasedCounselor.com. That's BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And people can email you through that website as well.
Yes, they can.
Always great stuff. Thank you for talking with us today. Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, and the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.